All right, we're going to look in 2 Chronicles. You should have a copy of the lesson. If you don't, you slip up your hands there. The men will bring that by to you and make sure you have a copy of the lesson so you can follow along and have some notes that you can use as a continuing study. But I want to do a lesson tonight entitled Victory Over Negativism. We've been doing a series of victorious Christian living, and certainly we need to be victorious over this spirit of negativism that many times consumes us and really robs us of the joy of living our life for the glory of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, is that air conditioning on, Mike, or is that the heat? Amen. I'm glad the air conditioning's on. It's hot up here. I don't know what it's like out there. Whew, it must be going to be hot preaching tonight. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, and the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Amen. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Old Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they arose up early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which came against Judah, and they were smitten. Let's pray. God, bless our study tonight. We love you, and we appreciate, Lord, the imprompting and prodding of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Help us to see through this passage, Lord, a way to be positive when things are negative in our life. And Lord, I just pray that we might be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our text verse is verse 15, and he said, Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King of Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So negativism, defeating negativism or overcoming negativism. It has been said that negativism is a habitual attitude of skepticism or resistance to suggestions, orders, or instructions of others. And sometimes some folks are just so negative, it doesn't matter what's going on. If you say it's a beautiful sunshiny day, they'll say, yeah, but there's a 25% of rain. You know, I mean, some people, you just can't get them to be positive about anything at all. Negativism is just developing this habitual type of spirit and attitude that no matter what is going on, you always see the bad in it. Or it's you, and someone tries to encourage you or challenge you or strengthen you about some positive things that God is doing in the midst of these difficulties in life, and we just absolutely refuse to hear it. I've tried to encourage folks at different times. They're like, yeah, I know. They just won't listen to anything you have to say because they're comfortable and they enjoy having their pity party and being negative about everything. And the reality is that everything isn't as bad as we sometimes paint it out to be, and there is something good that God can do. I was listening to a preacher on the radio, and he was preaching out of the book of James, and he was saying about James chapter 1 that he thins out the crowd in James chapter 1 because he talks about counting it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials, because we know God is doing something, working something in our life through those trials. And many a person falls by the wayside, removes themselves from being faithful to church, or disconnects with other believers because of the fact they don't want to acknowledge that even in the trial, even in the battles, God is doing something and will do something great and mighty on your behalf. But they're more comfortable in focusing on the negative rather than focusing on the positive. Winston Churchill said, "Success is the ability to go from one failure to another with no loss of enthusiasm." And sometimes what we do is we have to be victorious, and everything has to be perfect, and everything has to be the way we want it. And if there's anything that isn't exactly the way we want it, then we just lose our enthusiasm and just focus on the negative. But every person that's been successful or will be successful has gone through failures in their life. There is absolutely no way that you can be completely victorious and successful every stage and every moment and everything that you go through. If we are always on the positive side as far as experience, always good and always victorious, you'll never come to a place where you have to learn how to depend on God and trust God. And so I like what he says, success is the ability to go from one failure to another with no loss of enthusiasm. You might be falling apart and everything is falling apart in your life, but you can still be enthusiastic about the fact, well, wait a minute, I don't know what's going on, but God's got to do something in the middle of this mess. Amen. Many Christians never move on to complete victory in their life because of negativism. You know, I was talking to Dr. Miller the other night before he preached and the group sang, and we were talking about trends in churches, and he was telling me about his one church that he does a revival meeting each year for the last 3 or 4 years, I think he's been going to this one particular church, and he said this, every year, 1 week before the revival starts, families leave the church. He said they had 1 year, they were getting ready for the revival. They were praying for several months for the revival meeting. And the Sunday before the revival meeting was to start, three families left the church because they said, this is ridiculous, wasting all this time praying for revival. No revival is going to come. And they got mad and they walked out of the church. And, you know, many Christians will never get to the place of complete victory, because rather than focusing on the positive aspect of what God can and will do, we want to focus on the negative things and we walk out of the church. I think of how many people in the 30-some years I've been pastoring have walked out of the church over just a negative spirit because they absolutely won't look at the positive things that God is doing. And because of that, they'll end up never, ever really experiencing complete victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many a church ministry never moves ahead because of negativism. You know, I just believe there's plenty of things to be negative about in life and in ministry. But bless God, I don't know about you, I get sick and tired of hearing all the negative stuff. And I'd like to hear some positive stuff once in a while. And so many a church ministry is hindered by and hampered by this matter of negativism. Many people never get saved because Christians are so negative about everything. And why don't we show some unbelievers some joy and happiness once in a while? We know the world is wicked. The world has always been wicked. It's not going to change unless we lead the world to Christ. And so stop whining about the wickedness of this world. We know that Satan is real. We have a real enemy. He's not going to stop fighting against us. Listen, the Christian life has never been easy, nor will it ever be easy. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. The negative is, in this world you have tribulation. The positive is, be of good cheer. Why? Because he's overcome the world. There's power and there's victory in Christ Jesus. We know that there is an opposition against things of God. And there's been an opposition ever since Satan stood against God and was thrown out of heaven. But we can still be happy, positive, optimistic about the future. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So why don't we focus on that and walking around always defeated and discouraged? Consider the negativism of Israel. Notice in verse 12, where we read our text, it says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So here's a negative aspect of Israel. First of all, they doubted God's willingness to judge the wicked. They doubted God's willingness to judge the wicked. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Now, sometimes we can look at the world and say, well, wait a minute. I thought God was in control. I thought God judged the wicked. Why is it that it seems like the wicked continue? Why does it seem like the ungodly continue? And we develop a negative spirit about our life as a believer because we doubt God's ability to judge the wicked. May I say, there is a judgment day coming.
That's right.
And the wicked will have to stand before God and they'll have to give an account for their life. And God will judge the wicked and they'll be cast into the lake of fire forever. And so, wait a minute, stop questioning God. Stop disbelieving God. Stop accusing God of being unwilling to judge the wicked and just be positive and say, well, God said he'd judge the wicked and I'm waiting for him to do it one day.
Right.
Notice they doubted their ability to stand against the enemy. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. So many times, we just can't get people saved anymore. Well, you know, people that get saved, people that are born again Christians, just won't live for God anymore. Well, the church just isn't what it was 20 years ago. Good night. Stop it.
Amen.
Well, we'll just never be able to do like we used to do. Yes, we can do greater things. We need to understand, I know the enemy is strong. I know the enemy never gives up. But bless God, we can still stand against the enemy. Notice they doubted their intellectual understanding of how to approach the task. They say, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are open unto thee. What do you mean you don't know what to do? You know what to do. You got the word of God in front of you. Wait a minute. You know what you need to do as a Christian and how you ought to live. You know how your faith ought to be increasing. You know how to read the word of God. Don't come to a place where you're negative about life because you get to a place where you think, I just don't know how to do it anymore. Well, yes, we do. We know God gives us instruction and God gives us commands and God outlines for us what we need to do. So let's just believe God and say, well, wait a minute, there's greater things that he wants to reveal to me. That's letter D. They doubted their vision of their God. But our eyes are upon thee. Well, they've said an awful lot of negative things here, and I think they're just throwing that in to try to be comforted because the prophets had to come, as the Spirit of God would come to them and remind them, well, wait a minute, the battle's not yours, it's God. They needed a new vision and a new understanding of what God was going to do in their behalf. The easiest and quickest way to remove negative spirit and a negative response and attitude in you is to get a new vision from God.
That's right.
To see that there is something else that God has, he wants to do in your life and what he wants to accomplish in your life. And you adjust to those things in your life. Wherever stage of life you're in, God still has a vision for you. And so if we won't get a vision from God, then certainly, boy, life is bleak when we live that way. So we have to overcome. We have to have victory over negativism. So how can we do that? Number one there, we need to focus on the confidence of Scripture. Notice the prophets, when they began to speak, the Spirit of God came upon the prophets. And in verse 15, he said, this is what the prophet said to Israel, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord." So how can I overcome a negative spirit in my life? I need to focus on the confidence of what God has said. They're in dismay, they're discouraged, they have no hope of victory because they're looking at all the circumstances around them, all the conflict and all the opposition around them, and so now they need to be turned to a positive aspect of the battle that they need to go through, and they start out by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And so the way that we begin to overcome a negative spirit is focusing our confidence on the Word of God, on what God has said. Notice there is a command to confront the situation. Look in verse 16. He says, "Tomorrow go ye down against them." He didn't say go run in the corner and hide. He said, "Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jerel." You know, I like what God did. He told them where they were coming from, and he told them where they would be, and he said, go down there and confront them. You know, when you deal with negativism and negative responses and negative situations in your life, don't be afraid of them. Confront the situation. Over the years, I just know that, I remember years ago, and shortly after I came to the church here, and I was dealing with some situations as far as requirements for ministry and things like that, and all I did was went in the church office, open up the file drawer, open it up, took out of the file drawer the standard sheet and requirements for people involved in ministry in the church. And I had a meeting with leaders and workers and said, this is what you're required to do and what you need to observe in doing the ministry that God has given us in this place. And I had people got all upset with me and said, "Oh, yeah, what are you imposing on us? And I mean, all this, what do you think you are, the big CEO or something?" And I mean, some people were going ballistic. And I told them this. I said, "What are you talking about? All I did was walk in here and take out of your file, out of your church office, the requirements of ministry and read them to you." Amen. And they said this to me, "Well, that might be so, but you're the only one that's enforced it." What's the sense in having guidelines if you're not going to live by the guidelines? And literally here is God wanting to do something in the life of Israel, and they were so negative because of the enemy that was in front of them, and he said, "Now wait a minute, you need to go down and confront the situation." If you want to overcome the negative things in your life, you need to confront those things and find out where you can get victory over those situations so they're no longer robbing you of the joy of the Lord. And they listened to what he had to say. Notice in verse 17, there is a conscious decision to commit themselves to God's salvation. Verse 17 says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." I love that. Oh, man, there's a battle, but you do not need to fight. He says, "Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And so when situations, circumstances in life create in you a spirit of defeatism and negativism, then realize this, commit yourself to the salvation of God. God, I need you to do something in my life, and I'm believing you for it, and I'm waiting for it to come. He said, go out and face the battle. Go out and face the enemy. You need to confront the situation, but realize this, you're not going to do any fighting. It'd be nice for some Baptists to learn that. don't do any fighting with each other, amen? You got a situation, oh, I don't like so-and-so, they said this, well, stop fighting with them. Go out and meet with God and be still in the Lord and let God do something in their heart. Amen. Well, I just don't like coming to church because God, get over it. Meet with the holy God of heaven and realize, wait a minute, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's, and God can do things on your behalf if you stop being negative and defeated and a failure and start believing God that if you'll face the situation, God will come in and fight for you. Be still before the Lord. A conscious decision to commit yourselves to God's salvation. Somebody doesn't get saved to go into heaven until they commit themselves to God's salvation. We don't have victory in our life until we commit ourselves to God's salvation. The church doesn't have victory over circumstances we have to deal with if God does not deliver us. I have learned this a long time ago. Mike Weigel cannot solve any problem in the church. And may I say, the deacons can't either. Well, we'll get rid of the pastor. We'll let the deacons fare. They don't know what they're doing either. Well, bless God, if I was running things around here, no, you wouldn't. You don't know what you're doing. But I can tell you one thing right now. Instead of being negative about the ministry and the opportunities God gives us, why don't we just go to God and be still before him and let him do what he wants to do? You know what? You can be happy in God if you stop trying to figure it all out yourself, because you're never going to figure it out yourself. You're fleshly, you're worldly, you allow sin to consume you, you get puffed up in pride, you think you don't need God, you try to work it all out yourself, and the situation just gets worse. So we need a conscious decision to commit ourselves to God's salvation. And if I'm committed to God's salvation, I don't know about you, I'm happy about going to heaven. If I'm doubting about going to heaven, there's no joy in my heart. But I'm happy about going to heaven because of the fact I committed myself to God's salvation. And I can tell you one thing right now. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the only way the church continues to exist is because we commit ourselves to the salvation of God. Hallelujah, what a savior. I don't need to be defeated. Many preachers get downhearted and discouraged and ready to leave the church and everything else because of the fact that church isn't growing or church has problems. Dr. Miller and I, we were talking the other night, and we were saying, you know, it's amazing. You track church ministries. Churches go through cycles. And churches will go through a cycle of 5-6 years. Things will be blessed. It'll be wonderful. And then all of a sudden, everybody gets upset and you lose people out of the church. I was thinking about that. I could track this church for the last 20 years, and every 5 to 6 years, we lose a group of people out of church. You know why? The average Christian, when they get saved, lasts in a church ministry an average of 5 to 7 years. And without fail, somebody gets fleshly and worldly and ungodly, and in 5 or 6 years, they leave the church. Then it leaves everybody else going, what happened? I can't believe so-and-so left. Get over it. Amen. Because 5-6 years from now, you might be the one leaving. We need to rejoice in the Lord and realize this, that the battle is not ours, it is God. And we need to consciously commit ourselves to God's salvation and let him work his bidding, because then I can be happy about things. Well, notice in verse 18 and 19, there is a consecrated effort to celebrate the person of God. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. That's consecration. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell upon before the Lord, worshiping him. That's celebrating who God is. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. How are they going to get out of this negative spirit of the enemy's too strong, they're too aggressive, they outnumber us, We don't even know how to even approach this. How do you get out of that? Not only do you come to a place of committing yourself to the salvation of God, but you consecrate yourself to the worship and the praise and the celebration of who God is. I don't care how bad of a situation you may be facing, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's a situation in the church, I don't care how bad it is, God is still good. I don't care what's going on, God is still worthy of praise and worship. And we need to consecrate ourselves unto God that, wait a minute, I don't care how bad and how lousy I feel, God deserves my praise and my worship. I'm going to celebrate who he is. Well, you just don't understand what I'm going through. No, you don't understand the power of an almighty God. We need to consciously, deliberately, consecratedly celebrate the person of God. Notice, not only do we focus on what the scriptures have said, but we focus on the content of thought. In our text verse, he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat, thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you." That's the focus on scripture. Now here's the focus on content of thought. "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God." Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason. Thought patterns. Notice, we have to realize the thought patterns are the patterns of God's thoughts. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10 and 11. Says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." So how do I overcome negative is in my life? I focus on the pattern of God's thoughts. God's thoughts are not evil to you. God's thoughts are never how he can destroy you. God's thoughts are never to a place where he is going to abuse his children, but rather God's thoughts towards Israel was, because of your sin, there was the chastening hand of God that took you into captivity into Babylon. But that's not my thoughts towards you. My thoughts towards you is to bring you home. My thoughts towards you is for good. My thoughts for you is not evil. And listen, when you have to face the trials in your life, realize this, you can overcome the negative thought towards those trials because you realize this, that God always has thoughts of good towards us. So the pattern of God's thoughts. Notice the practice of man's thoughts. In Proverbs 23, in verse 7, says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul everything is sweet, and every bitter thing is sweet. And so, wait a minute, if we have a hungry soul for God, if our thoughts are towards God, then whatever negative thing, whatever loathsome thing that comes into our life, wait a minute, we still hunger and thirst for righteousness. We still hunger and thirst for God's presence and God's move in our life. Our thought pattern is that, wait a minute, it is not this situation that is going to defeat me or overwhelm me, but rather it is my desire to be in the presence of my God and enjoy his blessings in my life. And even though life may be bitter, the Lord is still sweet to my taste. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 34, and 35 says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye be ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart of man speaketh." A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Your thought process will develop your mindset of how you approach life and what you think of others and what you think of God. And so we need to have the thoughts of God embedded in our hearts and practice a thought process that enjoys and longs for and waits for the presence and the move of God in our life. Because, wait a minute, he has promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised that he would bless us. And so let's develop a mindset of focusing on the Lord. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if that's the case, then wait a minute. If I'm going to just think negative thoughts, then that's all I'm going to be is a negative person. But if I'm going to think positive things in reference to who my God is, when I practice those positive thoughts, then certainly that's going to be the life and the pattern that I live. So the pattern of God's thoughts, the practice of man's thoughts. The proposition of Jesus about our thoughts, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" May I just say this? We better be careful what we ponder and what we hold in, because Jesus knows our thoughts before we can even speak them or even act them out. In chapter 18 of Matthew in verse 12, it says, "How think ye if a man hath 100 sheep and one of them gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? What think ye?" How would you approach a negative situation? A negative situation here is that one sheep is gone. Are you going to say, "Oh my goodness gracious, one of my sheep are gone. That's my source of income. That's my livelihood. How am I going to live? How am I going to get by? I'm not going to be able to get the money that I was planning on into sale of this." No, wait a minute. Think ye about this. If you lost one of your sheep, the common sense thing is this: trusting that God will direct your paths, that God will take you to the point of recovering that which is lost. But oftentimes what we do is we focus on the negative rather than rejoicing in the positive. In chapter 22, in verse 42, Jesus dealing with the Pharisees, he said, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said unto him, "The son of David." And so literally he's making them think about who he is. And over again, when you go through the scriptures, it requires of us to come to a place of realizing the influence of the content of our thoughts. That's why it's so important to be careful what you listen to with music, or what you watch on television, or conversations that you get into. Because if you are constantly listening to negative thoughts and conversations and influences, the next thing you know, you're going to be responding in the exact same way. And I know I've used this illustration before. I remember I was in Bible college, and I was driving bus, and I don't know, it was second or third year in college, and I hadn't cussed. I didn't use curse words. God changed my language. And when I got saved, and I was with a bunch of bus drivers, and they were all griping and complaining about their job and talking about going on strike and all this, that, and the other, and they were cursing and all this, that, and the other, and going on and on and on, and I was talking to them. Next thing you know, a curse word came out of my mouth. I was in Bible college. A curse word came out of my mouth, and right then, God showed me, and he taught me, you better be careful what you're listening to. Because what you listen to creates a thought pattern in your mind. And that thought pattern that's in your mind is going to come out some way in a negative response. And I told those guys, I tell you one thing right now. I haven't said a curse word in 3 years. And I told them, I'm standing here talking with you, and now you have influenced me to say a curse word. I said, I'm not hanging out with you guys no more. You do your griping and complaining all you want. You're going to go on strike. But I can tell you one thing right now. I'm not going on strike because I agreed to work for a certain wage. And if the boss wants to give me a raise, hallelujah, I'll take it. But I agreed to work for a certain amount of money, and I'm not going to be negative, and I'm not going to be angry about what I'm receiving as a wage. And so I'm not going to have nothing to do with you no more. And I walked away from from them. I never hung out with them or talked to them. I could have several drivers in the same place where I was delivering people and driving people from one place to another. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I never sat again and talked to them like that. When I did talk to them, I talked to them about Christ and tried to lead them to the Lord. Why? Because you need to focus the content of your thoughts. Israel was afraid of the enemy because their thoughts had overrun them in a negative sense. Notice the presence, letter D, the presence of peace needs to run through you and consume you. That, wait a minute, there is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. There is a God who loves you and cares for you, and you don't have to focus on the negative things. There's plenty of negative. You don't have any negative. I got a clipboard. I'll give you a few things. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul says, finally, brethren, well, verse 7, he says, in the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally. What's he saying? Here's the conclusion. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You can overcome all the negative in our life if you choose to direct the content of your thoughts to the positive things of who God is. And so we need to focus on what the scriptures has said, and we need to focus on the content of our thoughts. You need to get your mind under control. I'm going to tell you the most detrimental thing that will happen to somebody is to let your mind run crazy on things. And we need to control those thoughts. Well, we need to focus on the proper concept of God. In our text, as he ends out that text verse, he said, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Realize this, that God is our source of strength. And certainly Israel could not stand on their own against the enemy that was in front of them. But wait a minute, they could stand in the strength of God Almighty. And oftentimes what we do is we live our life as if we have to do the battle ourselves, when in reality God is the one who fights for us. So we need to find that God is our source of strength for his work. If God has called us, God has directed us, then God will strengthen us for the task that is before us. None of us are strong enough to live the Christian life.
That's right.
We live the Christian life in the strength of God Almighty. None of us have the ability or strength to be able to do any ministry opportunities that God may give us. But we do that based on the fact that, wait a minute, God is our source of strength. So I have a proper concept of God. The weakness that is in me manifests the strength that is in God. And now also, God's grace is our stability in the battle. And we know Paul was encouraged by the fact that the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Israel had to come to a place of learning, wait a minute, the battle was not theirs, it was God's. So that meant God would give them the strength and God would extend the grace that was necessary for them to overcome the battle. And then let her see, God's promise is our solace or our peace when the enemy makes us afraid. And that doesn't mean, being positive does not mean you won't be afraid, because there are things that grip us with fear. Walking in the strength and the grace of God doesn't mean you're always going to have perfect peace, because there are things that unsettle us and unnerve us. But the reality is we overcome those things, that we don't get consumed with a negative spirit about us, because we come to a place where we rest in God. God has not forgotten us and he has not turned his back on us. So what is the conclusion of the whole matter here? How can we overcome or be victorious over negativism? Number one, have an attitude of gratitude. And I can't say this enough, because of the fact that if there is one thing that really kind of overwhelms believers, and I see it so much, is that we have so much, but we're not thankful for what we have. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything. It didn't say in all the positive experiences. It didn't say when you're in perfectly good health. It didn't say when you're making all kinds of money. No, it said in everything give thanks. So yes, in those negative situations, in those times of opposition, in the times of trials, in everything, we want to have a spirit of gratitude that, wait a minute, God is my peace, God is my strength, God is sufficient, His grace is sufficient to work in my life. He has revealed His word, and I can comprehend what He has said, and I can understand how He wants me to respond to this situation, and because of that, I can trust that He's going to work in my behalf. And so we need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need, number two, focus on hope rather than on worry. And listen, worry will grab us and it will destroy us. And listen, there is nothing more devastating than have to face the uncertainty of a future. But in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 33, and chapter 6. That's a typographical error. In verse 33 and verse 34, tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, oftentimes we think that we have to adjust things to make everything work out. Well, wait a minute. No, we need to seek the kingdom of God. In verse 34, it says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So we need to focus on hope rather than focusing on worry. Then number three, we need to rest in the power of God. And you need to be satisfied that, wait a minute, as Israel in chapter, where we read chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, needed to realize the battle was the Lord's, they needed to rest in the power of God. In Psalm 46 and verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And that is something to grab a hold of no matter what's going on. I don't have to be negative in my life, consumed with just despair and agony because of the fact, wait a minute, I can rest and be at still and I be at peace in the presence of my God. Well, number four there, be happy in the Lord. It's all right to be happy. I think sometimes people act like, well, if you're happy in God, you know, boy, you're just not under conviction. I don't know. I'm happy when I get under conviction. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." And I'm afraid there's many a Christian whose spirit is broken because you just won't get happy in God. And I'm not talking about a morbid type of sense of life and saying, "Hallelujah, boy, I'm really suffering. I mean, everything's falling apart in my life. It's great." No, there's a difference with being concerned about situations you have to go through and being happy in the Lord, trusting that God knows what's going on and God's going to get you through. And so if you don't focus on being joyful in the Lord, it will rob you of a positive spirit that, wait a minute, God is still on your side and God is still working. So overcoming, having victory over negativism. We need to have confidence in the scriptures. The Bible still works in 2016. We need to have a content of thought. We need to develop the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus," Philippians 2:5. We need to be concerned about the content of our thought. I know this, if I focus on the negative things, I will never sleep at night. If I focus on the negative things in life, and that's all I do is focus on the negative, I'll tell you, it doesn't take me long to get discouraged. And so I have to try to get my thought process to be on something that is positive, and then a proper concept of God. I'm thankful my God never changes. I'm thankful that He's all-powerful. I'm thankful that He's on the throne. I'm thankful that He can do great and mighty things that I don't even understand or couldn't even comprehend or even expect. And so I focus on the concept of who my God is. All right, well, we need to pray tonight.